And if you could start by giving me what's called the verbal slate, which is your name and how you're connected to InterVarsity.
Hi, my name is Orlando Perez, and I am on staff part-time with Athletes InterVarsity in Philadelphia. And I am also married to the national director. My wife is Megan Perez, and she's been the national director for over 5 years. And we've helped see this movement be birthed and being launched. So, yeah.
Perfect. So we were kind of talking before the recording about sport athletics as kind of a universal playing field, so to say. Well, no pun intended, but just it allows you to connect with people from any background. It gives you an opportunity to share the gospel. Do you have maybe one or two examples of how God has used that in your life to share the gospel with someone?
Yeah, absolutely. Obvious one that does stick out is this past summer. My wife and I, we actually led a trip to Uganda, and we were in northern Uganda serving in refugee camps with Athletes InterVarsity, and we had brought over eight athletes and our kids, and we served in Lakoti with Child Voice International and one of the local NGOs there doing a lot of good work. But we helped start their sport and movement camp, and I remember getting off the bus, and all I have was at the time was my whistle, and I just got off excited. I was like, hey, I don't speak the language of the South Sudanese, but what can I do? And I'm a gym teacher in Southwest Philly. And so automatically I was like, I know there's games that I run without saying a word when I teach students. So let me start there. So I started playing red light, green light with a whistle. And I started forming a circle. And then we started playing, you break out the soccer ball, which, you know, they say football. And so right away, sport united us. And to the point that sharing the gospel, being in a refugee camp, I didn't know what to say and how to bring the gospel to them and say that good news for them. But I saw that when we were playing games, they weren't thinking about what happened to them when they left their country. They weren't thinking about not having food that day, or they weren't thinking about what had happened to them on their journey or the hundreds of miles they had to walk to the refugee camp. But I remember the joy they had, and I seen the power that play had. And so I told them, I said, if play has this power, imagine what prayer has the power to do. And so in that refugee camp, I saw the gospel and was able to share the gospel with them through play.
That's wonderful. I know after hearing a bit of your story that athletics and sports had a powerful, God used that powerfully in your life as well. Could you give our listeners just a snapshot of the ways that God has used athletics in your life to help you overcome difficult things?
Yeah, so right off the bat, I'm the first to go to college in my family, a large Dominican family. My dad finished third grade and in Dominican Republic, and my mom, she met him when she was 16. They had me. She dropped out of school. But more importantly, like most of my family had, on my mother's side, had been incarcerated for selling drugs. I had my grandfather in jail. My uncles, all my five uncles, two had been deported, and even my cousins been locked up. But sport actually was for me a path out of that. It was an avenue for me to keep me busy, keep me out of trouble, have mentors in my life, coaches that were invested in me and actually started to speak life into me. I grew up thinking I was worthless. I also was obese and pre-diabetic. And so there was a point when I was at the doctor's office and he said, if you don't change your lifestyle, you're going to be dead before you're 30. And coming from where I came from, I thought that was going to happen through either selling drugs and getting caught up in that game, but it was just being, you know, inactive. And so that actually helped change my mindset and start to take health and nutrition serious, but also get more into sport. And so like sports actually saved my life in multiple ways. Now I'm a gym teacher and I get to actually bring that aspect to kids as well. So that helps.
So your, I think your story will resonate with some of our audience, and then other parts of our audience will be like, hey, that sounds like the kid I know in my Sunday school class or in my classroom, or maybe they're a gym teacher too. But maybe they have been hesitant. They don't know how to share the hope of Christ with that child. What are some ways you would recommend to them to begin bridging that gap and begin speaking the hope of Christ into that child's life?
Yeah, I think just calling out their God-given image bearers, you know, and calling it out, calling out the truths instead of the lies. I think that, you know, Satan does a good job of just, you know, speaking lies. And so being that he is the father of lies, having people in our lives to speak truth, it doesn't always have to be this, like, you know, prolific moment. It could just be like, hey, I see you. You're doing a great job. All right, I see what you're doing. And getting to know the person and getting to know where they're coming from. You know, I think sometimes we always look at what the struggle is. I didn't have a struggle of that my cousins had, you know, that pull to selling drugs. But for me, I have very low self-esteem. I was made fun of a lot. I was bullied. And so being overweight, like having coaches invest in me and say, wow, you're working hard, getting a most improved award for me, that actually showed me that working hard paid off. And so it started to instill this affirmation, started to instill this belief in myself. And so building that self-confidence, when you have it, there's nothing that can stop you. So having it rooted in Christ is even greater, you know? So whether they're believers or not, you can start to share affirmation and then lead it into Christ and share that with them.
And you mentioned, going back a little bit ago, you mentioned that you and your wife are kind of on the forefront of InterVarsity Athletics. How have you seen that grow in the past, I think it, what, 10 years? Has it been 10 years now?
No, it's been less, actually. Urbana 09, it was four of us, three, we're all on staff now, but, you know, three of them are like national leaders. But we were praying at Urbana to see God move in collegiate athletics, and to see athletes and coaches transformed, collegiate athletics renewed, and world changers developed. Kind of really what InterVarsity's model is, and just seeing it in the context of athletics. So for us, to see it happen, it's grown tremendously. To see my wife lead this movement, one of the only females leading a sport ministry, and one of the youngest leaders in InterVarsity leading, and also a mother, to see her and empowered, it's just, I'm seeing her break down barriers. And I get to be a part of that as a minority as well, breaking down barriers for others. And I think that's what athletes do and they resonate with. It's people set limits on them and say what they can't do. And so an athlete isn't gonna believe them. Oftentimes they don't even believe their own body. They say, I'm gonna push you till you break or fall. So I think athletes resonate that. It's grown tremendously. I think it's gone from nothing, you know, three campuses to, you know, I think we're on over 80 campuses, reaching over 2,300 athletes that are actively a part of Athletes InterVarsity. We're doing global programs. We're raising up staff, and we're doing work in communities, serving. So it's just beautiful to see on campus athletes being raised up in their missional communities, or making missional communities within athletics.